Chapter 9. As Ubuntu began his work in the field that day, he thought he saw something appear in a misty cloud just over his right shoulder. Spinning around, he tried to see what it was, but just missed it. He wondered at this mysterious ghost-like shadow. His life was beginning to change quite rapidly, so by now he knew to expect just about anything at all. Before too long, another patch of misty smoke caught his attention. This time he whipped around and stared fiercely into it to see if he could make anything out at all. Sure enough, there before him was another white lion, this time a female without a mane. He stopped hoeing and stared at this beautiful lioness sitting in a haze, quietly blinking at him in their cornfield. "Who are you?" he ventured as he gazed at this gentle creature. "Hello, Ubuntu. My name is Matimba, and I am mated to the white lion who came to visit you last night. I have come to give you wisdom and insight to assist you on your mission to help humanity. May I tell you a story?" Ubuntu propped himself up on his hoe to listen carefully. "One day, many years ago, there was a mysterious flashing light in the night sky over a place called Timbavati, right here in South Africa. On that spot, not long afterwards, the first white lions appeared here on planet Earth. We are not from here, but we belong here now because we have things to teach humanity. We have come to Earth to try to save humans from their own self-destruction. We were sent on a mission, and you are now part of that mission. We are asking you to please help us." Ubuntu listened with his ears and heart. "Terrible things are happening right now to our brothers and sisters, and if you'll come with me, I will show you." Ubuntu looked around to see if anyone was watching, and seeing the coast was clear, said, "Okay, I'm coming." Matimba turned, bowed down, and said, "Climb on my back, put your arms around my neck, and hold on." Before he knew it, they were high in the sky, flying over fields of corn. How beautiful it all was from above. His lifelong fantasies of flying were coming true after all. Chapter 10. Soon they swooped down towards the earth and found themselves in an enclosure with other white lions. Ubuntu looked around after he clambered off Matimba's back and saw many white lions, both male and female. They were in a fenced-in place, all close to each other, and he understood they were not free to roam. Where are we? Ubuntu asked. A few of Matimba's friends gathered around him and lay down, peacefully forming a circle with Ubuntu and Matimba in the center. He wasn't the least bit afraid. We have something very sad to tell you, Ubuntu, said an elderly male lion. My name is Mulungu. It is only a matter of time before my body will become a trophy, stuffed with man-made material. Every animal you see before you will be killed for money. We white lions are being bred in this camp for the sole purpose of human gain and greed, to become nothing more than stuffed trophies. And not only that, we are brutally shot in enclosures, large cages, with no chance to escape. Ubuntu was stunned by what he was hearing. A female joined in. Hello, Ubuntu. My name is Shumba. We have heard that there are a few kind humans who have managed to return some white lions to their natural habitat in the wilds of Timbavati. This gives us some hope now, but most people do not understand the teachings of the ancients and their reverence for white lions as sacred animals. They are only interested in one thing, which is lining their pockets with money. People fly in from all over the world to buy the opportunity to shoot us. They pay large sums of money for this opportunity. These people feel powerful when they take a life, especially the life of a white lion. They wish to possess the power of the lion and somehow feel that shooting us will be a way to receive that power. How very wrong they are. That's right, said Nyanga, another female. Nothing could be further from the truth. True power can never come from hurting others. In fact, the opposite is true. You lose power when you cruelly take a life or intentionally harm another. Force through violence is not true power, as the use of force always comes from some kind of fear. You can only hurt the world and yourself through force. Nyanga continued, blessings are given to those who choose to live in compassion for all of life. Each act is recorded in your book of actions throughout all your lifetimes. This is not a story. This is the truth. All actions in your life, sometimes known as karmas, boomerang back to you, sometimes immediately. Each act of kindness towards another, whether it is a fellow human, an animal, a plant, or even an insect, brings you a returned act of kindness. Kindness is a form of love, and this love is the only true power. Love creates a win-win for the giver and a win for the receiver. violence creates a lose-lose, a loss for the one who is committing violence and a loss for the receiver of that violence. It is time for humans to understand this now. Eventually, the hunter will have to understand the other side of his or her actions, so he or she may come back as the one who is hunted. This is spiritual law. Mulungu, the old one, spoke now. Many people do not understand that whatever you do not value, you will lose. If humans do not value life on planet Earth, life on planet Earth will cease to exist. Since all of life is interdependent and is one family, the loss of animal and bird species one by one is a clear signal of the beginning of the death of the Earth family. Neglect, disrespect, and brutality of even one member of the Earth family is felt by all members. You remember the days you woke up in the morning and didn't understand why you were feeling so bad? You were feeling in your body something which was out of balance in your Earth family. Shumba chimed in. There is great decay and disharmony within your Earth family at this time. Humans have forgotten their roots. Humanity has lost its purity and innocence, and humanity is in grave danger. With that, they all grew quiet, and Ubuntu hung his head in great sorrow. His heart felt like it was sinking like a stone with sadness at the stories he had just been told by these noble and gracious animals. As he sadly pondered the plight of all humans, Matimba stood up and came over to Ubuntu. She lay down next to him and consoled him with a huge white lion purr. Mulungu, Shumba, and Nyanga also came over to him and opened their furry voices in what became the loudest, furriest, most benevolent purr he had ever heard. He took it into his body and felt filled up with love and kindness. He then fell to his knees and Matimba licked the backs of his hands with loving gentleness. He had been told the worst news and the best news at the same time. It was horrible to know that these magnificent animals were being killed for money. The best news was that humanity could still make a change and choose a better destiny which would benefit all of life on Earth. He clearly understood now that brutality towards these lions was not only a loss for the lions, but was also a loss for the killers and the entire Earth family. And so he had a new understanding that all actions were registered in one's book of life, and that each action created a reaction in return. If we are cruel to another, we have to feel that cruelty acted onto ourselves later. if we are kind, we will receive that kindness back. If he were to teach this understanding to others, surely they would make kinder choices, wouldn't they? Or were they too blind to the lure of instant money in their pockets to think about anything else? He sighed a deep sigh. Only time would tell. Ubuntu looked up at his new white lion family and said, I will do what I can to tell others so that no other white lion will have to die to become a trophy in someone's living room. Such cruelty must stop. Each lion then stood up and silently padded around Ubuntu in a perfectly formed clockwise circle. They were giving him a blessing, and he could feel his heart fill up full with great love and devotion for these sacred and wise animals. He had their blessing now, and he knew he had just been initiated into the extended white lion family. With that, Matimba said, Hold on, Ubuntu! And off they flew. Chapter 11. Tembi, who was waiting in the field, watched in awe as Matimba's giant paws came to rest upon the earth with Ubuntu riding on her back. After he disembarked, Matimba smiled at both the children and thanked them before disappearing into the welcoming skies. Ubuntu and Tembi walked to the end of the field while Ubuntu somberly shared all that had happened to him. Tembi had only one question. Ubuntu, we are only children. Who is going to listen to us children? Ubuntu stared at his feet, then looked up and said, Tembi, if there ever was a time to listen to the children, it is now. The adults of this world have made a mess. Perhaps we can influence those adults who wish to change the world but don't know how. All children love animals. We must reach the other children, and they must teach their parents and teachers how to respect all living beings. Tembi nodded her head and said, Okay, Ubuntu, it might work. They ran back to the house, realizing they still had chores to finish. They went on their way happy, yet with a heavy heart. They had much more to think about than ever before. One of Tembi's jobs was to milk the goats. She now ran across the field and called her favorite goat, Zuzu, Zuzu. Catching up with her, grass in hand to let her munch, Tembi led her into her stall so she would be still enough to milk. Tembi loved the smell of fresh goat milk. It filled her nostrils as she milked her favorite goat. Zuzu had a gentle spirit, yet was always ready to make Tembi laugh, such as when she would grab her shirt and begin to chew on it. She would eat her whole shirt if Tembi didn't pull it out of her mouth. She looked comical too, with a funny beard and extra tufts of hair in unusual places. Giving her a friendly scratch now, Tembi thanked Zuzu for her gift to the family and let her run free again.
Oh, Lily. Oh, Lily, Moliba makasi.
Chapter 12. That afternoon, Ubuntu's father did something he rarely did. He put down his work tools, called his son, grabbed the soccer ball, and said, "Let's go!" A bit dazed from the morning's adventures, Ubuntu said, "Sure." They wandered silently off to the soccer field close by, where more often than not, there were sons and fathers playing ball. Sometimes there were just young boys, and sometimes some girls would show up with their brothers, sisters, cousins, and extended family. Today, as the sun played peekaboo behind the clouds, there were just a couple of Ubuntu's friends. Phila and Bongani were happily playing ball and were pretty near getting tired out when Ubuntu and his father arrived. But they all shook hands anyway, and with grateful smiles, they all decided to play together with the ball already on the field. Everyone knew just what to do, so no explanations were necessary. As Ubuntu began to play ball with the others, he suddenly realized his left leg wasn't nearly so out of sorts. And it was as if they all realized at once that his mood was better than usual too. His new sense of purpose and the love of the White Lions were creating a noticeable change in him, and he noticed with gratitude that he was actually feeling a pleasant new peace inside, despite the sad news he had received that morning. They played hard and worked up a great sweat as they kicked the ball back and forth, trying to get the ball through the imaginary gate. They loosely kept points and pretended to be very attached to winning, but really, they knew it was just a good way to work off some of their worldly frustrations, and they went at it with great gusto. Finally, after lots of sweaty passes and goals and a few minor scratches and tumbles, they called it quits and turned to go as the sun began to set in the sky. They waved each other farewell and all made their way home in the sweet late afternoon cooling air. Ubuntu could tell the others felt something new in him, including his father, although for the time being he did not say anything. And they all, including Ubuntu, noticed that his limp was slightly less. This gave all of them a bit more spring in their step as they found their way home that late afternoon.